The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Greetings, Earthlings. You're listening to the podcast for Outcast. This is the Alien Earthling podcast. I am your host, JP Doyle, and it's another week, another time. And we're at it again, folks. We're here. And I come to you with very sad news that I know you already know about. And we lost a great basketball player, great role model in a community. So I've heard. I mean, I would never personally witness the community help, but we lost a great person, Kobe Bryant. He was an NBA basketball player, NBA All-Star. I think they said like 17 times or something crazy like that. He won MVP a lot too. So it's crazy whenever people die that are celebrities. It's always like weird, and whenever you hear about it, you're like, what? No way. Especially like somebody young that's not like an old person, you know, because old people, it's like the natural cycle of life. So when an old person dies, it's still sad, of course, but it's like, well, that's the way it goes. But he was only 41. It was a helicopter crash. His daughter, who was only 13, was on the helicopter with him. Very, very sad. I believe a coach, a baseball coach, maybe it was a basketball coach, was on there, and the mom and the daughter of another player who was his daughter's friend was on the helicopter. And I don't know how many details everybody knows about it, but I'm going to tell you what I heard. So he got the, what's really even more depressing is that he got the helicopter in order to be able to spend more time with his family, because they say California traffic is crazy. And he lived in Orange County, and like his basketball training centers and stuff were in L.A., and they said on this podcast I was listening to, they said that could sometimes with traffic, that could be a 2 to 3 hour drive. So he got a helicopter so he could fly past that, because he said he was late to something. He was late for something, some type of, you know, school function or something for one of his kids. And it broke his heart. So he decided to buy a helicopter so he didn't have to worry about that. And I think that's really cool. And I wish I could do that. But then now, after what happened to him, I'm like, maybe I don't wish to do that. But the thing that happened was the day was really foggy. It was a really foggy California day, they said. And he has some type of special license or permit that even if it's, you know, not recommended to fly, he still could. And which I think is ridiculous. They obviously need to change that. It's dangerous for everybody. So, yeah, I guess it was too foggy. I guess they couldn't see, you know. It's very, very depressing, especially being a father to a daughter, and that makes it so much more personal, you know. I can, like, imagine it more, and the thing that that I was thinking about the other night that really upset me the most about it was I was thinking, man, I just couldn't imagine the feelings and the emotions and the scene before it happened. I don't know how aware they were made before the crash happened. I don't know if they had time to even think about what was going on. I don't know if they just hit something and that was it. Like, they didn't see it. It was too late and then they hit it. I hope so. You know, I hope that it was fast. Because it's very, 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 very sad. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I hope I don't have any enemies. I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't like me. But I personally don't feel like I hate anybody anymore. But, side note, Snapple, JP Snapple fact. Yeah. But yeah, so I just really, really hope it didn't happen like that. Because I wouldn't wish the feeling of having to, like, look in your daughter's eyes, and she's at an age where she's old enough to process what's about to happen, and you have to somehow try to make her feel, I don't know. Whew, that's fucking heavy, dude. That is fucking heavy. Man, I would not ever wish that on anybody. Fuck, man. Whew, so sad. I got the chills thinking about that, man. That's scary, dude. I don't know. But, so I hope that, you know, I don't know. Imagine getting that call as the spouse and as the other kids. I think he had 3 other girls. So imagine getting that call, you know? Oh, man, what a fucking tragic story. And also, I know a lot of people are getting upset because a lot of, you know, there people are looking past the other people that were on the airplane or the helicopter. And same thing, man. There was a mother on there with her daughter, same age. And she had experienced that. So, and then if they had long enough to think, you would be scared to think. You would think, if it were me and I had long enough to think and I made the decision to go ahead and fly, even though I was told you probably shouldn't, like, how could I look those people on the helicopter in the eye with the feeling of guilt that it was almost your fault? Well, not your fault, but I definitely don't think it was anybody's fault, obviously. But I mean, it was, you would feel like, it would be hard to not feel like it was your fault, you know? Or at least for me, if that was to happen and there was like time where they knew they were going down, it would be hard to not feel like it was my fault. Just be safe, man. Just always make the best decisions, especially when you're driving out there on the roads, people, you know, just be safe. Always be aware. Always, like, take every drive you take very serious. And I'm preaching to the choir because I need to do that more often as well. And, you know, I'm not somebody that's a stickler for, like, don't text at the stoplights or the stop signs. Just make sure you're paying attention to the light, and because it's very annoying when people sit through lights. But, man, try your best to not do it while you're driving. So when I don't really text and drive. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say I never text and drive, because that's a lie. But I don't text and drive as often as I used to, because I've had a few scares, man, where I'm like, fuck, not like super, super close, but enough where it scared me, right? Like, I was like, fuck. So just be careful, take precaution, and take, I can't think of the word, but, like, you know, if somebody tells you, hey, conditions are rough, conditions are bad, if I were you, I wouldn't go out there. Take that for what it is, especially if it's coming from somebody that knows more about that than you do. So my thoughts and feelings and vibes go out to them. And I'm sure everybody around the world that heard about it feels the same way. So, yeah. But then you have some people. I didn't see the video. Let me see if I can find the video, because there's some controversy going on with this, you know, and I'm not trying to be the person. I don't want to feel like I'm being the person that is trying to bring up something from the past and, you know, something that was never, you know, settled on, I guess you would say. It's just like a story that's in the news right now, and I feel like, hey, we're talking about the topic, let's go ahead and discuss it. But so I don't remember what year it was, but a while back, Kobe Bryant was accused for sexual assault or like rape, right? So he was accused of that, and it got settled outside of court. And I think the woman received money. I believe she was 19, and Kobe issued her an apology that's public. And in the apology, he basically said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know that you were saying no." Basically, like, I didn't realize that you didn't want it. And we don't know what happened. I'm not going to side with either party. All I can do is look at it based on society standards of quote unquote justice. And I use that word very sparingly because I think a lot of people do get screwed over. But based on that and not knowing anything about the insider detail and reading the full apology, because I read the full apology, I just want to say he was never accused, so we can't accuse him. You know, you could accuse him personally, but publicly, as a whole, we shouldn't accuse him. And there was a comedian named Ari Shaffir, and, you know, he's known for his risky stuff, man. You know, he knows how to poke people's, you know, buttons. And he said something about, this incident of Kobe's, sorry, I'm looking at the videos. I'm trying to find the correct video so I can play it for y'all so y'all can hear it. But he's trying to figure out, I mean, he's trying to say basically he deserved it because he's a rapist. So let's go ahead and listen to that. I don't know how well it is for y'all listening out there, because I know that sometimes it's kind of quiet on my end whenever I listen to it and play back in post. So hopefully y'all can hear what he's saying. And I've never seen this video, so y'all are getting my real-time reaction. All right, let's see if this one is the right one. Hopefully it is. Here we go.
As I know, there's always a lot of, like, hate, pain in the world, and there's always a bunch of terrible stories. And every once in a while, there's a good story. A good story comes out. The guy who got away with rape got his today. Kobe Bryant is gone. I'm here in Charlotte, the home of the team that originally drafted him. Maybe he wouldn't have raped that chick in Denver if he had stayed in Charlotte with the Hornets. But anyway, the point is, dude, it's like, as I know, there's always a lot of, like, hate, pain in the world, and there's always a bunch of terrible stories. And every once in a while, there's a good story.
Wow. So, yeah, that's not good. So you heard it there. He basically said there's always bad stories in the media, and sometimes there's a good story. And the good story was that a rapist died in Kobe Bryant. Ooh, man, that's fucking, that's what he's known for. I don't know. I don't agree with it. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I'm saying it's not surprising when I heard that he said that. It's not, I'm like, okay, like, that's not surprising at all. So I don't know if he's, apologized for this, or I don't know if he's, you know, just kept up with it and said, yeah, I meant what I said. I'm not sure. So, yeah, that's a rough one, man. I don't know if I can't really support that one. We don't know what happened. And, you know, it's not just Kobe Bryant, dude. His daughter died too, man, with him. And I know based off, you know, podcasts and stuff I listen to with this guy, Ari Shaffir, I know he doesn't have kids. And in his friend group, like on the Joe Rogan podcast and stuff, he's known as the one with no kids and no responsibilities. And you can't understand it. I understand without having kids, there's no way you can understand what just happened. Dude, that's fucking the worst. That is the craziest fucking feel. That the idea of having to go through that with your kid, man, dude, fuck that. And then you come and say this shit, man, dude. Not a smart move, but I'm sure he realizes that. So what do we do, right? Like, I guess he, you know, was he, was, is that how he truly feels, or was he just trying to be funny? I don't know. It's tough to say, and I think that does kind of play a factor in it, but it's still 100% wrong, regardless if it was just a joke. Man, that's such a fucking, that's a fucking crazy shit, crazy thing to say, man. So, but, you know, he got his name out there, and they say all press is good press, so he'll, I'm sure he's gained some fans from this, but for people that also agree with him, hey, man, if that's how you feel, just leave it to yourself, right? Like, there's no point of saying that. Leave it to yourself if that's how you feel. Like, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say when I found out about Kobe, I didn't, like, hear about it. You know, I was sad initially. Well, first I was like, whoa, because, you know, I watched him growing up. So at first I was like, whoa, that's insane. Like, Kobe Bryant died. Like, that's weird because you're not expecting it because he's, like, young, you know? And then it went from that to, like, holy shit, his daughter was on the plane, on the helicopter with him. Then you feel awful for that. And then I get sad because I start thinking about, like, memories. And then, you know, like, when you're a kid in high school, we used to always, like, get the ball. Like, if you have trash and you would shoot it in a trash can and be like, Kobe. That was always a thing. Kobe. But, man, I don't know. I don't remember where I was going with that. But, oh, what I was saying was, so, you know, that's how, that was the cycle that my brain went through. And then I came to the part where I was like, didn't he rape some? Wasn't he accused for rape? Like, and it wasn't like I was, like, trying to, you know, belittle what just occurred or trying to be a dick. I didn't say it out loud. I mean, I talked to my wife about it, but I didn't post it on social media and I didn't say it on a podcast or anything. But I did have the thought. I was like, wasn't, and it just, like, you know, like, I don't know. It just, my brain sparked like that, right? So, but to say that, like, it's a good day. Like, dude, like you saying this, you know, like, he has enough clout and enough reach that, you know, more than likely somebody in Kobe Bryant's family will probably see this. Like, it's like 99% more than likely that Kobe Bryant will see this. I mean, Kobe Bryant will see this. Well, if he's, well, yeah, maybe. But if it's like 99% somebody in Kobe Bryant's family would see this. And you still decide to do it, realizing that and knowing that. That's pretty fucked up, man. I don't know. I don't write off on this one, man. And I'm a big believer in free speech. You know, I mean, obviously, like, on a super small scale, but I like doing podcasts and stuff, and I like feeling like I have the ability to say whatever I want to say and the ability to joke about things, even if for some people it's not something they would usually joke about. But, like, this right here is fucking, that's some dark shit. So I don't know, you know, let me know what you think down below in the comments about Ari Shaffir's comments, but I definitely disagree with them. So where do we go from now? You know, hey, if you dislike the dude, you know, just dislike him, but there's no point to keep, you know, to spread hate to him and to, you know, I know he probably got a lot of shit for this, man. He's probably getting a lot of shit for this. So he's getting it. You don't put yourself in a negative place, to just get a reaction out of this guy. You know, you shouldn't do that with anybody. Never put yourself in a negative place where you want to attack them and stuff. You know, I've never been somebody, and I'm not saying this as like a showy off thing, but I've never been somebody that, like, would just like if a celebrity posts something, I'm never somebody that's ever commented on their thing, like, hating on them. I think that's so crazy. It's so weird to me. It's almost like, I think people lose, like, they don't like, they lose the thought that these are people still. And some of these people read this stuff, some of them don't. And then I know it's also, it's like, well, you know, it comes with the territory. Like, they decided to get into show business, or they decided to be, you know, to work towards being famous. Some people didn't. Some people just happened. But But I understand that. Like, I get that side of it. That makes total sense to me. But still, at the end of the day, I don't feel like 90% of the people that leave comments, like, talking shit to celebrities and stuff, would say it to them in person. And not because you're scared. I'm not trying to, like, challenge you or something. But I think it's because it's, like, you know that it's wrong to say those things. And it's easy to say them behind a computer and behind a keyboard. So don't put yourself. And then whenever you are like that, you're not just like hurting that person that you're trying to talk shit to. You're hurting yourself, man. You're wasting time because before you know it, you're having some fucking Twitter battle with some random person in Winnipeg. And y'all are arguing about some person y'all don't even fucking personally know. Same thing with politics, man. Like I'm all about having cool political talks. Like I have no issue, you know, like I have a friend that I talk to political stuff all the time, like almost on a daily basis. And I don't like if we disagree with each other, I don't get mad or argue with him. I say, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. And, you know, and I understand. And that makes sense to me. I do that. And we have great talks, and I've learned a lot about him, and he's changed my mind on some things. And yeah, so that's how things should be talked about. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect and flawless and I don't do that, because there's things that occur in my everyday life that I just fucking like get immediately react and get mad about and start arguing with my wife about. Like, you know, like there's stuff that happened that I do too. But I'm saying we should all try to learn to dial that back a little bit. And just be willing and open to hear people's opinions and things, you know? There's nothing wrong with it. You just because somebody says something and they sprout, when you say something, it's like you sprout it into, it's not like they're sprouting it into to existence, where it's like if you're arguing about liberal and conservative issues, just because a liberal person says, you know, women have the right to choose, doesn't mean that like you're gonna just immediately be like, yeah, you're right. You know, like you still have your opinion and you still can say your opinion. So I don't know, there's no point to get mad about it and to argue about it. Because first off, like, who has ever just fucking argued with somebody so much that you change that person's mind through an argument? I mean, that like never happens. Anytime I have ever, like the one I can use as an example the most is my wife. If we're arguing with each other and she's, you know, she has like a tone and she's taking a louder voice with me, and I have a tone and I'm taking a louder voice with her, and we're arguing instead of talking, we're never going to hear each other out. You know, like, I'm not in a headspace in an emotional place when it gets to that point where I'm trying to hear anybody out. I'm just trying to fucking talk, and, you know, I don't even know what the point of arguing is sometimes. But when we fix our issues and we work on things and we talk about things, it's after the point where we're mad at each other and we're coming down this crazy roller coaster ride, and it's like the energy's gone, it's kind of more chill, and we kind of discuss it like normal human beings, and that's where the true change comes from. So I'm sure everybody out there listening knows that. Like, how many times have you had an argument with your spouse? How many times have you had an argument with your child? How many times have you had an argument with a friend or with somebody in an authoritative position, like at school or anything like that? How many times have you had an argument with them and nothing good came out of the loud, brass, yelling argument phase? Nothing good comes out of that. You don't solve problems through that phase. The only time that issue usually gets fixed is after that phase. You come down, you bring the energy down, you speak about it, and then y'all come to a conclusion, and then you figure out what's going on. So if you're going to use that type of mentality in your personal everyday lives and relationships, you need to take it and apply it to your internet persona. Because if you think about this, because I know you're probably thinking, well, you know, they live far away, nothing's going to come from it. Yeah, but you're putting yourself in a negative place, man. You're mad. There's things where I've seen online where I read about myself, and I couldn't even imagine being like a celebrity, you know? Like, I read about myself and like comments on podcasts I've done, or comments that on this, you know, on these podcasts that I do, or things on our movies, our reviews, the movie reviews we get are insane. I'll pull some up right now and read them for you. They're hilarious. And sometimes when I read those, depending on what kind of emotional state I'm in, they affect me differently and I respond differently. I would say 85% of the time I can read it and it just goes, you know, it just goes like behind me. And then there's sometimes 15%, depending on if it catches me in a specific mood and stuff, I read those reviews and they get to me. But people that write those reviews, like, why don't you take that into consideration, that even though it's through the internet, I feel like some people think that just because it's through the internet, that the person reading it, it will feel safe too. Because you feel safe when you write it. So you probably feel like the person reading it, you feel safe that they're just going to, like, more than likely ignore it. You know, like, I feel like that's what most people probably think. Or, you know, you think that you are going to get an argument, but it's nothing really is going to come out of it because it's all online, right? But you're wrong, because you're putting yourself in a negative place, that you're putting that person in a negative place, that person's putting themselves in a negative place, and all you're doing is spewing negativity back and forth. And that affects you emotionally. That does affect your psyche. Regardless of if you like to think that it doesn't, then I don't know what else to say, but that does affect you, right? It does wear on you. It may not wear on you the same way it wears on you in real life when you're having a heated argument, like face to face with somebody, and fucking spits flying and you're fucking doing hand motions back and forth at each other and stuff. Like, yeah, obviously that's going to have a really deep impact because you're like experiencing it all physically and it's more personal. But the internet is still personal. You still have a persona online. You still have you are still you, even though you're using a computer to be you, if that makes sense. I mean, that's insane, right? To think that you're basically, when you're online and you're acting in these communities and environments, you are using a device to, you know, amplify your voice and put it out there for the masses. And, you know, it's like you have to keep that in mind, that you're still projecting who you are. Because there's still, like, I think we're just in this learning phase in our society, but I think that one day this is going to stop. Not stop completely, obviously, but I think one day the trolling and the arguments and stuff, I think it will slow down. I think people will start realizing, holy shit, these online debates that we feel like don't have an effect on us because we're not experiencing it personally face to face with people, they don't have an effect on us, but they do. And I think we're learning that. Man, I used to get in debates with people online a lot, you know, because, you know, the political realm is always the one I think of, because that's usually the one that causes the most arguments. So, you know, I'm not like some, I've gotten into political arguments before and stuff. And I just, you know, it's so stupid because I've never changed anybody's mind. But you know what I can do and what I have done and I've seen works is, you support your person, right? We all have our person. I've made it very clear on this show and Not Today Satan, I endorse Andrew Yang, and I'll post Andrew Yang stuff, and I have people, mainly Republicans, commenting on it, saying, you know, things about it. And guess what I do? If they come at me rudely, if they come at me with like personally, almost, you know, like not so much about the facts and not so much about the actual political issues and stuff, if they just come at me and kind of attack me personally, I just ignore them. I delete their comment, or I ignore them, or something. You know, like, I don't that's not why I'm putting that out there. I'm putting it out there because if you want to have a nice, like, civilized discussion about the issue, that's cool with me. Like, I can totally be okay with doing that. But I'm not going to get into some name-calling, you know, match with you. So, you know, what I like to do is I'll drop, you know, like, I'll share an Andrew Yang post or something. And that's how I respond to people. If they come at me and they want to, like, have, like, a nice discussion, I'm cool with that. I mean, it's not going to be super long because even through a nice discussion, I'm more than likely not going to change your mind. But I'll give that a try over arguing and calling, name calling, right? So try to do that. And I think that works better because my friend that I speak to on a almost daily basis about political things also became an Andrew Yang supporter due to me posting stuff. And he listened to it. And I think that works better, you know, like almost don't even sometimes I think the best way to like keep yourself out of arguments online and stuff is like to share an article or to share what the actual politician posted on their personal accounts or to share things like that they said straight from their mouth instead of like really putting your opinion out there. So that way, because, okay, this is what I'm trying to explain is if I post something on my Facebook page and it's my personal opinion and somebody comes back at me attacking me, I'm going to take that more personal because it's my personal opinion. It's the thought that I formed and I molded in my head and I thought, hey, this is a good thought. It's good enough thought to put it out there. And there will be somebody that disagrees with you and you feel like in your brain, you're like, I figured it out. This is my thought, right? I invested my time and my energy into this thought and I put it out there and I gave it a chance and then somebody comes and shits on it. You're going to get more mad than if you just posted a something from somebody's political page. Like, so what I'll do is to avoid that feeling of being angry about somebody shitting on my personal thought, I will post like a graphic or something that Andrew Yang posts or says, or a video of him that he says, because it's coming straight from his mouth. I can't take it personally. Look, I believe in this dude. This is the guy that I'm investing my money in. This is the guy that I'm investing my time in by speaking about and stuff. And here's what he's saying. And if you have something negative to say about it and you comment it on my Facebook post, that's fine because it has to do with him. Your negativity is going towards him, not towards me personally, because it's not my personal opinion or thought. You know, these are the methods and the ways I exercise my public persona in order to maintain a stress-free online time. And don't get me wrong, the annoyances, the stresses, they still occur. It still all happens. There's no way to completely avoid it, but this is the way that I like to spend my time online, man, because life is hard, man. Life is already hard, right? It's funny because I'm wearing a shirt from Chris D'Elia, a comedian, and it says life rips. If you're listening to the, I got quiet because I'm showing the camera on YouTube, on Not Today Satan podcast YouTube channel. But he has a line of shirts that say life rips. And dude, life does rip. And what he means by that is life is awesome. Like, quit looking at the negativity about situations and look at the good and everything. And I completely agree. But it's hard, man. Like, it's hard to maintain that thought. It's hard to maintain whenever you're struggling paycheck to paycheck and you're trying to make rent and you're trying to just do things that make you happy and balance your life, your work life, your family life. Man, it's fucking hard. But life does fucking rip, dude. Life really does rip. And, you know, so shout out to Chris D'Elia for these shirts and stuff. Because it's true, man. Like the fact that you even have to stress about balancing your time and your energy and stress about stuff like that is cool. Because you're alive and you're experiencing it. And all of this is just one big experience. And, you know, I can say that right now. I'm in a good mood. I'm happy. Everything's going fine. It's easy to say it right now because there are moments where I'm like, Life does not fucking rip. The only thing life rips is ass. It's like a giant fucking fart landing on me. I'm like the bubble boy, but I'm in a fart bubble floating around life sometimes. It feels like that, right? Like, I just smell like sulfur. I just smell like rotten eggs. And I'm floating around in this fucking fart bubble of life. And I'm bouncing off people. And sometimes I'm consuming other people because my bad negative energy or my bad negative mood that I'm in that day consumes people. And I'm just floating around in a giant fart bubble. And some people pop in the fart bubble with me. And so sometimes life rips ass, right? Sometimes life rips ass. And in a weird way, that makes life kind of rip because you're even able to experience it. So, sorry, I'm writing something down. So, that's one way to look at it, you know, I guess. And when I do this podcast sometimes, I feel like I can come off as being preachy, or I can come off as being like a know-it-all. But what I'm going to say right now, just apply it to every episode, past and present and future. I'm just telling you things that I've learned and that I really try to apply to my daily habits to make my life better for me. These ideas work for me. The way I handle my public, my face, you know, my fucking social media persona, the way I do these podcasts, this is all stuff that works for me. So all I can do is take my experiences and put them out there for you. And my goal from these podcasts and stuff is just to make, even if listening to like Not Today Satan for an hour or so makes you happy and you have some laughs, because we enjoy our time on that show. We laugh. We have a good time. We say funny. We try to say funny shit. I say try because sometimes it's just really goofy. But if that's where you get your joy from, that's great. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can get your joy from everything in life. Everything. Even the hard times. Even the times that you feel like everything is stacked against you, or you lost something or somebody. Even in those times, there's ways around feeling like life is ripping ass. And all I can do is just give you those ideas because they help me. Because I say this all the time. I'm genuinely happy, I think, for one of the first times in my life as a whole person. Not as somebody that, like, in moments, right? Because you have moments of happiness. Like, when I got married, when there's specific moments in my relationship with my wife, because I've been with her for 9 years, almost going on 10 now. There's been moments that we've had that are my happy moments. You know, having my daughter, happy moments with my daughter. Like, I've always had moments that I've had of happiness. But in those moments, even if they were like, even if I had good days, I was still generally overall not a very happy person. And I feel like there was so much time wasted where I could have like stopped being so stubborn, taking the plunge within myself, finding myself, trying to figure myself out and figure out my quirks and being okay with who I was and being okay with my childhood and my past and being okay with those things. That is what the goal of this podcast is. Is I just want people to feel good. And the way I can share that is with I call them life hacks. You know, I just, like, that's what I name, like, what I do, like, life hacks, right? Like, my life hacks are, you know, going to the gym. You know, maybe fitness isn't your thing. That's fine. But find something that you enjoy, like how I enjoy fitness is what I'm trying to say. I think fitness is important, but things like that, you know, these podcasts, making documentary films, I'm starting jujitsu tonight. I'm super excited about that. And I work. So it's like people, like you hear that and you're like, how the fuck am I supposed to do all that? Dude, look, man, I got a wife. I got a daughter. I got work. I got friends. And it can happen. It can be done. You can balance the things. You can figure it out. I used to, like, the idea and the thought of trying to schedule shit and figure shit out used to just overwhelm me. It used to just, and sometimes it still does. I'll explain to you why in a second, but sometimes it still does overwhelm me, right? Like, the idea of, like, fuck, man, like how am I going to do all of this in one day, you know, podcast and jiu-jitsu now, because I plan on taking the class and, you know, my family life and my daughter and blah, 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 blah. Like, it goes crazy in your head, but you have to, those thoughts are not going to stop and they're not going to get quiet. So there's no point of acting like they're going to. What you need to do is just ignore them. Just like whenever somebody's annoying you and you decide, you know what, I'm just going to ignore them. You do the same thing with your thoughts and yourself. Like last night, for instance, okay, so I finally found some Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes that I'm going to go take because they're affordable and they're in my price range, and I'm super stoked. I cannot freaking wait to go do this. And the first class is tonight. I get 3 trial classes, so I'm going to try it and see if it's the right thing for me, because I know that I like jiu-jitsu and I know that I want to do jiu-jitsu, but there may be some things I have to cut back on time-wise in order to make the ability to fit jiu-jitsu into my schedule. So I'm going to go try it out. And basically, my goal is to try to do 2 classes a week. So since I get 3 free classes, I get to experience what a full week with jiu-jitsu in my life would be like. So that's how I'm trying to look at it. And after the 3 classes, I'm then going to decide what I want to do. So I'm super stoked for that. And I'm just doing it because last night I started thinking about how I'm going to miss out on time with seeing my family, and I'm going to miss out on time with possibly with podcasting. And, you know, I don't think I, not podcasting, I'm just going to have to change my schedule around a little bit and blah, blah, blah. But I need to try it to at least see if it's something that is I enjoy enough that makes me happy, that's worth fitting into my schedule, that's worth sacrificing time in specific different aspects, specific different aspects. That was the weirdest fucking sentence ever. In different aspects of my life, how am I going to fit and squeeze this in? And I am having thoughts like that. Last night, I was thinking that, what am I going to do? I'm going to miss out on time with my daughter and blah, 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 blah. Time goes by so fast. Look, she's already fucking 3. And before you know it, she's going to be fucking 18. And then you're going to regret like spending all those times and hours in jiu-jitsu. Look, you're not going to regret it, man. If it's something you love and enjoy, it's better to be there as a good parent that is able to handle and maintain your child properly. So basically, quality over quantity time. Quality time over quantity time. And why I'm saying that is because if I'm not doing things that make me happy and make me feel like I'm a human being and I'm not some fucking just robot that wakes up, goes to work and does, you know, this and that. If I'm not doing things like that, I will literally go insane. I will go insane. I will become very depressed and I will not like my life. And I want to be happy. I want to, you know, so it's important to try to do these things, but it's hard to not have those thoughts. You're going to have those thoughts. They're going to talk you out of things you want to try. Look, if you love it enough and it's something that you really find interesting and you really, really want to devote yourself to it, you have to give it a try, a good try, depending on what it is. If it's something that, like, for example, like my jiu-jitsu, I want to take 2 classes a week. I get 3 free classes. So I get to figure out how a whole week will be like. That's key. That's awesome. I couldn't find any other places that do 3. I've only found one place and this is it. All the other places do 1 free class and then they try to make you sign up. So I get to do 3 free classes. I'm going to try out the 3 free classes, see if I like it, see if it's something that I can maintain on a weekly basis. And you know what? If I can't, either I need to pick and choose something else, like I need to take something out of my life to put jujitsu into my life, or if those other things are too important to me, I'm just going to have to say, maybe at a different time in my life, I can do jujitsu. As of right now, I just can't. And that's fine. But I'm not going to know that unless I try. And if I listen to my thoughts in my head and I listen to the change and the scary, I'm not going to even try it. And then I could have missed out on something that I was totally capable of handling on my weekly schedule. So just try the things you want to do. But give it a good effort. If it's a podcast, and like I know some people out there want to start podcasting. If a podcast is something that you want to try to start doing, my recommendation is to set a goal for a specific amount of episodes where you don't, you make sure, because when we first started our podcasts, we were kind of lax on putting them out weekly. And now we like are on a set schedule and it's become like a part of our lives. And it's so easy. And I never thought we would get to this point. So you got to like 10 episodes. I want to do 10 episodes straight, 10 weeks. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's like it's in my top priorities. Give it a try. If you can do that, keep it going. If not, then podcasting is probably not for you. You know, working out. I recommend starting out at 3 days a week. You know, depending on your body and your size, start 3 days a week. See if you can do it. See if it's something that you enjoy. Do it. They say do it for 30 days. You know, 30 days is supposedly the magic number in working out where you can break that hump. Give it the old 30-day try. So I would say, you know, if it's three times a week, what is that? I think that's 10 weeks. 10 weeks as well. Do 10 weeks. See if it's something that you enjoy. You know, that those are things that I do that make me happy that I would, how I would recommend doing. But if you like baking, you know, set yourself up a couple times a week where you're going to plan on baking something and you're going to plan on creating a cake and you have an idea just for fun and give it to somebody. Shit. Nobody's going to turn down free cake. What the fuck? I'll just make some cake and fucking give it to people, man. Give it to your neighbors. Give, you know, if you want to bake some cookies because you enjoy baking cookies, but you don't want to eat the cookies, give it to your fucking neighbor. Give it to some homeless people. You know, like there's a lot of things. Give things a try. Give them a try. That's all I can say. Give them a try. Take, for instance, my wife. She is going to go to law school. And they say the first year of law school is fucking hell. They say it's awful. They say you have no time for anything. And it's all about time management, schedule, you know. And I can see my wife sometimes when we talk about it that it's scary. And I know she's having those thoughts that I have about other things in my head. All you can do, because you're not going to stop those thoughts, all you can do is ignore them. Ignore those thoughts and give it a try. So the best advice I can offer somebody, something like that, you want to go back to school? Man, first year of law school is supposed to be really fucking hard. Give that whole year a try. Give it a try. And, because they say that being a lawyer is not easy. So if you can handle that first year of law school, you can do anything. Then finish the rest of two. I think it's 3 years. Law school's 3 years. Finish the rest of the 2 years that you have left. And boom. You know, if you can do that, you will surprise yourself. You will surprise yourself on what you can do. Whenever you can put aside the negativity in your brain. When you can put aside the discouraging thoughts. When you can put aside the feelings of doubt and anxiety, when you can put those things aside and give things a try and get really good at certain things that you always wanted to try. I want to be a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Like that I've always been interested in martial arts and stuff, and I was never in a place where I felt like I could give it a real try. And now I do. I feel like I could give this thing a real try. So I'm going to go do it. And if it's something I can maintain in my daily schedule, I'm going to start, and I will not stop. I want to be a black belt. And that's what I'm doing. And I know that I can do that. And I'm not scared of the change anymore. I'm not in a spot in my life where I try to talk myself out of it anymore. I mean, like I just said last night, I had those thoughts, but I ignore them and I'm still going to go try today. regardless of those thoughts. I really would love to become a black belt, and I feel like I really can because I've maintained this podcast, because I lost 65 pounds and I work out, you know, 5 times a week out of a 7-day week. I went and filmed 2 documentaries and we posted them on Amazon Prime. I did all these things. Like, I used to just say, this is so funny to me. I used to just say before I filmed these documentaries, I said, before I die, I just want to do 1 paranormal documentary. I now have out 3 legit paranormal documentaries. And that is a fucking amazing feeling. And I'm not, no signs of slowing up. I want to do them yearly, and I plan on doing them yearly. And to know that I just have that in my head now, and it's not something that I'm going to be swayed over, like I'm not going to sway myself out of anymore. That's fucking awesome. And you can get there. You can do it too. Just try. You have to try. But again, like I said, I'm not trying to be come off all preachy and shit. That's not my goal with these shows. I can just tell you what's worked for me. And I can tell you, like, 100% genuine, honestly, I am very happy, and I'm very happy place in my life. So coming from that place and knowing what I did and knowing what I tried and what I do, that's all I can tell you. You can fucking do it, man. You will surprise yourself. You will shock yourself. Like, if I know, like, cause it's still kind of beginning of the year and everybody has, you know, New Year's resolutions, and the big thing is losing weight. You start going to the gym and you actually put yourself into it, and you don't only do it and focus on wanting the look. You know, like, a lot of people, I think, go in wanting to look a certain way, and it doesn't happen like that. It takes a lot of time, energy, and effort, and people get discouraged very fast, because I've been there before. I've started the gym before and not stuck and maintained it. I didn't do it the first fucking time, and then it just latched on and I just kept doing it. There was a point where I worked out for like about 2-3 months, and I started getting some tone in my arms, and I was feeling good, and then I didn't stick with it. This is the only time that it's ever happened, and I'm going to maintain this for the rest of my life, because I enjoy it, and I will never lose why I did it. You can get there, man. You have to try. Get your head out of get your head out of the idea of, you know, I just want to look a certain way. Do it because it makes you feel fucking good, man. That's why you do it. That is why you do it. You don't do it just for the aesthetics. I got into it just for the aesthetics too. But then I eventually realized, oh, this isn't for the aesthetics. This is because I enjoy it. This is where I can, like, literally blankly think about things and, like, just listen to a podcast and like, laugh and enjoy the conversation I'm listening to, or laugh at funny stories and jokes people are saying on the podcast I listen to. I can literally just go off, and maybe listening to podcasts during working out isn't your thing, but, you know, listening to music and really hearing and feeling the music and letting the music pulse through your body and using the music to push yourself and stuff like that. That's why you go. That's why you try things. That's why. You gotta fucking try, man. And sometimes life rips ass, bro. Sometimes life rips fucking smelly farts. Those farts that you see on Pornhub where the chick is sitting on the dude's face and she's farting and he's enjoying it. That's the type of farts you should get. You should enjoy life's nasty farts, because it's crazy to think that we're even fucking alive to experience even the bad shit. We should feel like we're blessed in the sense of it's rare. Like, how fucking rare is it that you exist? The idea that you fucking exist is insane. And the fact that you even get to handle the negative shit and you even get to come face to face with negative shit is fucking amazing. That in itself should keep you going. I get to be alive. I get to have feelings. I get to have emotions as a human. How did I get so fucking lucky? If I look right here, I have a bearded dragon in a tank. Her name's Nova. I've had her since she was a baby. Cool ass animal. I don't think shit's going on in that animal's head. I look at her and it looks completely blank. I don't know if it's her eyes. I don't know what's going on. But I'm not that. They say that bearded dragons... Sorry if you heard that. I hit the mic. They say that bearded dragons enjoy solitude, enjoy living in their tank. They don't need human interaction. They don't need anything. They just like sitting there all day, every day. That's what they like to do, supposedly, from what I read. Be glad that you don't have to experience that. And be aware of it. Right? Imagine your human brain in a bearded dragon's body. You would go insane. I would go fucking insane being in that tank 24/7. She fucking loves it, man. Apply that to your thinking whenever... I mean, of course, some moments are way too fucking hard, right? And it's going to take time to get to this, the ability to think like this sometimes. But try your best to get to this point. Because the fact that you even have the chance and the opportunity to think and to hurt and to lose and to, you know, hate and to be disappointed. The fact that you even get to have those emotions and experience this life is a fucking good thing. So life does fucking rip. And sometimes life rips ass. But you know what? I'm going to take my idea of life ripping ass and Chris D'Elia's idea of life ripping, put it together, fart fetish porn videos. Be a fart fetish porn videos. Take that fart in. Yeah. Some farts are fucking awful. Those guys, they fucking love those farts, man. Oh, yeah. Take that fart in and be excited about that fucking fart. Be excited about that fart. That's all I can say. Be excited about that fart. Because sometimes life is a smelly, ripped fart out of your ass. Be excited about it. And look, again, what I'm saying to you today, I'm not just trying to tell you to do that and acting like I fucking do that. Because I do not all the time. But I would like to get to a point one day where I can just like honestly believe in that. And that's my goal. You know, I hope that you guys are enjoying this podcast. You know, I really, really love doing it. It's a lot of fun. I didn't even touch my notes today and we're already at an hour and I got to get ready to go to the dentist. Let me tell that story really fast. So the other day I was, you know, messing with my tongue in my mouth, doing, you know, weird stuff. I don't know, sitting there and the back of my front tooth felt really fucking strange. And I was like, what the fuck? What is that? There's something in my tooth. And I put my finger in there and I felt like it felt weird. And I'm like, something feels really off. So when I got home, I looked in the mirror. Now keep in mind, it's behind my back front teeth. So I never see that. Never see that. Like, I have to, like, you know, put my chin into my neck. I don't even have a fucking chin. So I'm just like, I have to just like put my neck into my neck and look down, look into the mirror and put my jaw, like displace my jaw like a fucking snake, like an anaconda, and look at the back of my tooth. Hey, man. Whew. Fucking gross. I guess, you know, I brush daily. I brush my teeth daily. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I do not floss like I should. I honestly don't floss very often. That's going to change because I have a fucking cavity on the back of my front tooth. And this isn't a small little cavity. It's fucking bad. And I don't know how I never noticed it. No clue, man. No fucking clue. You'd be surprised. Like, you think you know your body pretty well. Man, I did not know that. That's not good. So I'm going to the dentist here in about an hour. Well, whatever. An hour or so. Taking off to go to the dentist. Wish me luck. I'm stressing about it costing a lot of money, but I'll have to figure it out. It'll be all right. It's something that I can't ignore. It's something that I can't just act like isn't going to happen. So I just need to go. I'm not scared of the dentist. I'm worried about how much it's going to cost. So that's my stress. And I guess I'm trying to talk myself through it right now and you guys get to listen. But, you know, it's something that has to be done. I can't live like that or I'm going to lose my tooth. So I have to go do it and I don't want to lose my tooth. So I'm going to have to put the money, pay the money somehow, get on a payment plan. It's just going to have to be done. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And yeah, that's where I'm at, folks. So you can just call me by my pirate name now, which is Blacktooth. I am Pirate Blacktooth. Arr, and I got a cavity. Yeah, my pirate impression's really fucking bad. I need to stay in my lane and not do impressions. That's for sure. But yeah, it's not good. So wish me luck. And on the next episode, hopefully I remember to talk to you about that. But Captain Blacktooth hopefully will no longer have a black tooth. And then I'll be called Captain Porcelain Tooth because they're probably going to have to pull the motherfucker out. I don't know. It's fucking bad. So, but yeah. Hey, life rips ass sometimes, but good thing smelling farts is my fetish. Keep it weird, folks. Peace.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.